Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. Greetings from the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, August the 13th of 2017. I'm Derek Gilbert.
You can do it too, honey. I just look on my little Mac thing in the top right corner,
right next to the time, if I just see. My name's there too, which is good, because it reminds me of that. So.
Oh, my name is... Wait a minute. Mine says my name.
Well, that's a good thing.
I guess. And, you know, the older I get, the more I need to be told who I am.
Well, we'll tell them. Well, you're Sharon Gilbert, and
Gilbert, and yes, indeed. Sorry, just off in another realm. Literally, I am off in another realm. Still in the 19th century. Can't get out of there. Well, we'll be in there for years, I think.
But you're working hard on editing the second book in the Red Wing Saga series, which will be out in about a month.
Yeah, I'm at the difficult point in the edit that takes the longest because I actually read it out loud, which takes a while to work your way through a 440-page book.
Oh, tell me about
it. When you're reading it out loud, yeah.
I've recorded a couple of audiobooks. It takes a while. Even you know, when you're not having to stop and edit out the flubs, it just reading through it, period.
It takes some time, and you know, it takes about 4 or 5 days per read through, and this is my first out loud read through, and I'll do at least one more before I send it off to my proofers, that being yourself and then one other person that I trust so much, Linda.
Oh, Linda, God bless her. Yeah, she did that for The Great Inception as well.
Yeah.
And found a lot of things that really made the book a lot stronger.
This is a wonderful friend of ours who's a retired school teacher, and she catches everything. Mm-hmm.
By the way, just before we recorded, Sharon had asked me if the levels were louder somehow, and looking at the recording here on the VU meter, yeah, the levels were a bit louder, so I've adjusted things. So I couldn't tell. I think your ears are far more sensitive than mine. In fact, I think
very sensitive ears.
There's some indication that mine are getting worse as I get older. So.
What?
Well,
that's funny.
So next week, a heads up. Next week, of course, we'll be in Idaho for the Sign in the Heavenlies conference. That is the Hear the Watchman conference in Idaho. We'll be there we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful time. Carl Gallups, L.A. Marzulli, Casper McLeod, Russ Dizdar, a number of friends.
We've not seen Russ in several years, I don't think. It's been a while. When's the last time we saw Russ? Was it? Oh, maybe.
Dallas. He was in Dallas. He was just so busy, we barely saw him.
Oh, that's right. He was. I'd forgotten
back in March.
That. Yeah,
right.
I think I saw him passing in the hallway or maybe at a dinner once, and that was
it. That was about it. Because
good
he
grief.
Was so busy. We didn't have much time to say hello to him. But but this is going to be fantastic because, of course, next Monday, a week from Monday, rather, the 21st of August, is the total eclipse of the sun. And it's going to pass very near Boise. So Mike and Jeannie, the coordinators, organizers of the Hear the Watchman conference, have organized essentially a tour bus to bring us up to the mountains where we can watch the eclipse. I mean, we're not going to stare at it or anything like that. We know better. But still, to be able to see it in...
that would be very poor science.
Bad science. We're really looking forward to it because this will be essentially a once-in-a-lifetime for a lot of us. Now, in 2024, I believe, there's going to be another total eclipse that's going to cross the Earth from across the United States from southwest to northeast. This one's going northwest to southeast from Oregon to South Carolina. And there's a spot near Carbondale, Illinois, where the X is going to cross the two paths
of the
eclipse.
We may have to go over to that.
Yeah, that could be interesting. In fact, I'm familiar with the little town there that is going to be the spot where it's going to get the longest eclipse, like over 2 minutes, about 2 minutes and 15 seconds of total eclipse near Golconda, Illinois. I've been there when I was doing outside sales. There's a little... scrapyard machine shop near Golconda we used to do business with. So.
Not Anaconda, though.
No.
We call it the Anaconda.
What movie is that from?
I can't remember.
Gary Marshall.
I don't know. Millennium or something. I don't know. One of those.
Yeah,
shows.
He was showing off his extension cords. He was an extension cord salesman or something. We call this one the Anaconda.
I don't know.
Oh, yes. Well, little bits of your flotsam and jetsam floating around in our brains. Anyway, today, another dive back into the book of Isaiah. And one of the passages that really helps cement the authenticity of Scripture, because the book of Isaiah, and again, there are scholars who want to retcon it and say, oh no, this had to be written after the fact because there's no way Isaiah could have known the name of Cyrus, the king of Persia, 150 years before Cyrus was born. Yeah, if you discount the existence of the supernatural, mm-hmm. But if you're a biblical scholar and you are, so you're saying God can't do this? What? No, I take this as written by Isaiah during the time Isaiah lived, which was late 8th, early 7th century BC. And of course, Cyrus was 150 years later. So we will open with a word of prayer and then we'll dive into the book. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again through your word and through this medium that allows us to communicate all over the world. Father, we just pray that as we study, your spirit will guide us, grant us wisdom and discernment to rightly divide your word as we add nothing to it and take nothing away from it. Father, we just pray that your word is a blessing to us today and always. Help us to understand and understand it through the worldview of the prophets who understood that the small g gods of the pagan world were real and played an active role in their lives just as they do in the world today. But their end has been decreed, and we look forward to that day, Father. Until then, Father, we just pray that, again, you grant us understanding of your word and a desire to share this truth with those, you know, in our circle of friends and colleagues and acquaintances and family members. We ask your guidance as we read. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we begin at Isaiah 45. We just encountered Cyrus at the very end of chapter 44, where God says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple your foundation shall be laid. Now, the reason he's saying she shall be built is because, again, Isaiah had prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come along and destroy it, which he did. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 45. Thus says Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus.
Okay, I want to stop you because just previously, at the end of 44, he was referred to as the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Now he's referred to as the anointed. The word is Mashiach.
Yeah.
This shows how important Cyrus was. But again, Cyrus did not believe in Yahweh as the only God to be worshipped.
Right.
Cyrus sort of played every card. Mm-hmm. But he's being used. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that suddenly he's a messianic figure.
That's true. That is true. And that is, you know, Cyrus is somebody who kind of came to prominence again this year, as there are some Christians who believe that Donald Trump is a type of Cyrus, mm-hmm. somebody who's being used by God to restore, I guess then in that analogy that the United States would be Jerusalem. Okay, I can kind of see where you're going with that, but I can't say I agree with it, because the United States is not Israel. We are not Jerusalem. We are not his chosen people.
No, but I think that Donald Trump, at the very least, is being used by God for his purposes.
Correct.
What those purposes are, it's hard to tell yet.
Right. Yeah, we really don't know.
And is he a believer? Don't know.
He claims to be.
I know.
But
that's between him and the Lord.
It's between him and the Lord, right. We can make our own decisions, judgments on it, but we don't know for sure the condition of his heart.
Right.
And, you know, different people with different personalities are going to live out their faith in different ways.
Yeah.
I don't live out my faith the way Donald Trump lives out his.
No. And honestly, there are people, we've talked about this before, there are people who live in, say, the Hollywood culture, mm-hmm. who are genuinely, you know, redeemed. Their name is written down in the book of life. But because of the culture that they've grown up in, they behave differently than you and I were.
Sure. And there are people who might look at some things that we do. Like, mm-hmm. for example, on Sci-Friday, we talked about watching the, a couple of television programs that have some interesting depictions of spiritual warfare.
Yeah, but they're not programs we would advise the average believer to watch, because you have to be really spiritual and mature to watch those shows.
Exactly. For a number of reasons.
And use the fast forward button a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. They can be very deceptive, but also because they're depicting, adult situations.
Mm-hmm. Most of them do. There's a reason for that. It's the same reason that sex has been used in the past to help program other behaviors into humanity.
Right. And so there are people who, would look at that and our choice to view some of these things as inappropriate. So,
well, to that I would say, if you're standing as a watchman on the wall, you can't say no, I don't like what's going on over there, I refuse to watch, because you're watching for the enemy.
Right. And it's difficult to warn if the only congregation you're going to preach to is already in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Then avoiding what's going on outside the walls is fine. But we live in a culture where most of the people we know are outside the walls of the church. They're outside the church. And so the only way to reach them is to, like Paul, go to Mars Hill and say, you know, I see you guys, you know, worshiping this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about this other one over here.
Yeah.
Or let me explain to you. Let's have a discussion about what you're doing here.
And, exactly.
It's tough to reach people if you're staying inside the walls of the church.
And tough to reach them if you start by, you're stupid.
You're evil, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
People don't like to hear that. Bad marketing. Mm-hmm. To start out with the opening line, you're stupid and everything you know is wrong. People don't respond well to that.
Not usually, no.
I don't know. Anyway. Well, back to Cyrus. But this does prove, though, and this is, another point we should make. There are those who will say that modern-day Israel can't be Israel because the secular nation of Israel is not righteous. It's not the nation as God originally called it out of Egypt, a nation of priests following the judges. Okay, I suppose you can make that case. But look, as we've been seeing, that's one of the themes in the book of Isaiah, that God used the Assyrians to judge Israel, and Hosea as well, pointing out that the Assyrians would be used as God's instrument of judgment against Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms, and that Babylon would be used to judge Israel, mm-hmm. and punish the kingdom of Judah, for its disobedience. But now Cyrus, who, as Sharon pointed out, is a pagan, was being used by God, and not only that, being called his anointed, his Messiah.
Yeah. Well, not Messiah with a capital M.
Not capital M Messiah, but anointed.
But that's all Messiah means.
Right.
It means anointed.
Right.
That's what Christos means, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cyrus was called his anointed, mm-hmm. right? Thus says Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed.
That's a curious phrase, to loose the belts of kings.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's idiomatic in some way, and I'm just wondering what it actually means.
Yeah,
I picture all sorts of things when I read that.
Yeah, their pants have fallen down. Of course, they didn't wear pants back in the day, but it may be the
belt of, you know, you put on a belt when you gird up your loins, so to speak, and put on a belt to keep all of that up when you're going to start running.
Yes, and you can't carry a sword if you don't have a belt.
Exactly.
So, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places, the high places.
Mm-hmm.
I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards and secret places, that you may know that it is I, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me.
Hmm.
I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Now, passages like this are what lead many of us to believe that all other supernatural entities, well, except maybe for Satan, because he shows up in the New Testament, and demons, because Jesus throws them out, are you know, just imaginary creatures, mm-hmm. that there are no other gods, except that God in the Bible refers to them Exodus 12:12 in particular, but other places, Deuteronomy 4:19-20, Psalm 82, and so forth. What he's saying here is that he is incomparable. There are none that compare to him. He is the only creator.
But the original Hebrew has the meaning of there is none besides, there is none moreover, there is none yet or again. It's this idea of continuance. I think he's saying he is unique.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly my point. He is unique. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds...
No, lift out 7.
Sorry, you're right. Verse 7. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, Yahweh, have created it. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay...
That's what we do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? The clay... That's exactly what we do. That's the whole transhumanist movement right there.
Uh-huh.
Hey!
We'd be better if we had handles, you know.
Yeah, I want wings. I want gills. Woe to him who says to a father... What are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host. He's talking about the heavenly army, mm-hmm. the angels. I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free. Talking about Cyrus now.
Mm-hmm.
Not for price or reward, says Yahweh of hosts. Thus says Yahweh, the wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabians, men of stature, that's Sheba, which is modern-day Yemen, shall come over to you and be yours. They shall follow you. They shall come over in chains and bow down to you. They will plead with you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other, no God besides him. And true to form, Persia did in fact conquer Egypt. The Babylonians tried, couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. All of them are put to shame and confounded. The makers of idols go in confusion together. But Israel is saved by Yahweh with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. For thus says Yahweh, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you survivors of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, Yahweh? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. From my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in Yahweh it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who were incensed against him. In Yahweh, all the offspring of Israel shall be justified and shall glory.
You know, these last paragraphs, starting with verse 20, they seem prophetic.
Yeah.
Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you survivors of the nations.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just Israel scattered amongst the nations, but the nations themselves. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it looks like every knee shall bow. This is all prophetic. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Chapter 46, Bel bows down.
Ah. Now that's the Babylonian name that was eventually applied to Marduk.
Mm-hmm. B-E-L.
Yeah.
Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. This is a mountain. Is Bel also a mountain?
Well, Nebo was the name of the mountain, but it was named for Nabu, the god of wisdom, the scribe of the gods. It's Nebo is essentially the Babylonian version of Hermes or Mercury.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but Mount Nebo was named for Nabu, mm-hmm. the Babylonian god of wisdom.
Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Oops. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Speaking of the item itself, mm-hmm. again, these were to provide locality for the spirit beings.
Right.
Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, invader,
mm-hmm.
Cyrus.
Yeah.
I have called a bird of prey. That's interesting. What does his name mean? I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory.
Cyrus, Persian form of the name, as you mentioned, Koresh,
mm-hmm.
has been interpreted in various forms to mean the sun, like the sun.
Or may mean young or farsighted.
Yeah. Well, calling it from the east, that's where the sun rises.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting.
Yeah. Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. And by the way, I can't wait until we get to Daniel and read about that night where in Daniel chapter 5. Because there's some really cool stuff there. In fact, I'm going to really go into it in my presentation next weekend at Boise.
In the next book.
And it'd be also in the, it's also in the upcoming issue of Skywatch TV magazine.
Yes, it is. Smackdown. That's what Cyrus means. Smackdown.
Yeah. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Verse 2. Take the millstones and grind flour. Put off your veil. Strip off your robe. Uncover your legs. Pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered, and your disgrace shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will spare no one. Our Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the mistress of kingdoms. And this came to pass because after Babylon fell, the Chaldeans essentially disappeared from history.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry with my people.
Except for the coffee.
Well, yeah. Caldi, yeah. I was angry with my people. That's a coffee chain here in Missouri. We used to work for the company. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. I gave them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the aged, you made your yoke exceedingly heavy. You said, I shall be mistress forever, so that you did not lay these things to heart or remember their end. Now, therefore, hear this, you lover of pleasures, who sit securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. And that's the height of hubris to say, I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what Yahweh identified himself to Moses.
And there is no one besides me. That is also.
Yes. Uh-huh. I shall not sit as a widow or know the loss of children.
Isn't that something that the Whore of Babylon says? I am no widow.
Revelation 19, I think. Would that be... I would have to look that up, but yeah, I think you're right. I shall... Yeah, Revelation 18:7, where she says she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so...
I am not a widow and will never see mourning.
Yeah, yeah.
18, verse 7.
Yeah. I am and there is no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow or know the loss of children. And this is really, really significant. I mean, Babylon, and this is... Again, this is right at the heart of my presentation coming up next weekend. Influence of the moon god on all of this. Babylon was founded by worshipers of the moon god. The last king of Babylon was totally a moon god worshiper. In fact, to the point where he made the priesthood of Marduk really, really angry at him because he tried to turn the temple of Marduk in Babylon into a temple for the moon god Sin. Yeah. There are some historians who think that the priests of Marduk may have opened the gates for Cyrus and the Persians.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because Nabonidus, he was living out there at an oasis in the desert called Tema.
Uh-huh.
And so they couldn't perform the annual New Year festival called the Akitu festival in the spring because the king wasn't there.
Right.
So they were convinced that Marduk had withdrawn his protection over the city. But Nabonidus didn't care because he was worshiping the moon god. He wanted to make the moon god supreme. So anyway, I shall not sit as a widow or know the loss of children. And it was this moon god city, Babylon, that's become the symbol for occult wickedness for all time. These two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood shall come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and the great power of your enchantments. I'll have to make note of that. You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray. And you said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. So Isaiah is repeating that for emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
But evil shall come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, for which you will not be able to atone. And ruin shall come upon you suddenly, of which you know nothing.
These are things that also happened to the Whore of Babylon.
Yeah. Right. Again, she's, I am no widow. And and suddenly the beast turns on her and the kings of the earth. Yeah. Stand fast in your enchantments and your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you may be able to succeed. Perhaps you may inspire terror. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let them stand forth and save you. Those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons... Make known what shall come upon you.
Mm.
Yes, Father Nana, the moon god. Seen.
Yes. Yeah. And referring to Inanna, because I am no widow. This is a female.
Right, right. And dividing the heavens, the Babylonians, the astrologers, divided the parts of the sky into the way of Enlil and the way of Anu. And in fact, I was just reading about the use of the word Nibiru, which of course is all in the news because every time there's some weird thing, you know, Google astronomy is hiding this Nibiru planet X is headed right for us or we're all going to die. No, I'm sorry. Nibiru was a name that the Babylonian astrologers used for any bright star that crossed over the ecliptic during an equinox.
Mm.
So it could be Jupiter. It could be Mercury, any star.
Gallifrey.
Gallifrey. Sure. Yeah. That's Nibiru because it's the equinox and it's crossing over the ecliptic. It helps if you actually read stuff that's not necessarily published.
So on then he starts into wrestling.
So Dr. many Hugh, Doctor Who references. Yeah. Oh, yeah. back to Isaiah 47, beginning at verse 13 again. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let them stand forth and save you. Those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons make known what shall come upon you. In other words, it's saying that these astrologers that you've been depending on to tell your fortunes aren't going to save you. God is the only one who can actually say from the previous verse that you read in chapter 46 about from ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
That was some poetry.
Tells the end from the beginning.
End from the beginning, yeah. Behold, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. No coal for warming oneself is this, no fire to sit before. Such to you are those with whom you have labored, who have done business with you from your youth. They wander about, each in his own direction. There is no one to save you. Babylon, you are doomed.
Chapter 48. For they call themselves, hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who came from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of Yahweh and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and stay themselves on the God of Israel. Yahweh of hosts is his name. The former things I declared of old, they went out from my mouth, and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass, I declared them to you from of old, before they came to pass. I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them. My carved image and my metal image commanded them. You have heard. Now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You have never heard, you have never known. From of old, your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth, you were called a rebel. I think this speaks about Israel, but it may also, you could at the very least apply it to the fallen realm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you everything. I didn't announce everything on the first day of creation, so you guys would know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the one who knows everything, not you. In fact, I think of some new things that nobody knows.
I taught you everything you know, but not everything I know.
Right.
Yeah.
You have never heard, you have never known. From of old, your ear has not been opened, for I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Parentheses, you could almost read between the lines, though I'm tempted to. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. Repeated to make sure that we understand, it's for Yahweh's sake that he does this. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last, using his name over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
I am, yeah.
That's not something that these Old Testament scholars wrote down willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
The verb present tense of to be wasn't used generally because it was his name.
Yeah.
I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. In other words, I am the Alpha and the Omega. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. This would be Jesus Christ, son of the right hand.
Ah, yes, yes.
When I call to them, they stand forth together, spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together.
Hmm.
This is a personification of the heavens.
Right. The angelic realm again,
mm-hmm.
represented by the stars and planets.
And it's yeah. continued. Assemble all of you and listen. Sorry, but inanimate objects cannot
don't
listen.
Assemble and listen, right.
Who among them has declared these things? Yahweh loves him. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. Again, this seems to speak to the fact that he's saying not only to Israel, I'm doing a new thing, and I never even hinted at it before, mm-hmm. but he's saying to the stars of heaven.
Yeah.
You guys didn't know any of this.
And this had to be a shock, I think, to the faithful Jews that, you're going to raise up a pagan king?
Mm-hmm.
As you're anointed?
Yeah, to call him that
right.
was to them anathema.
That had to be startling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yahweh loves him. So again, second half of 14. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken and called him. I have brought him, and he will prosper in his way. Cyrus. Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh, mm-hmm. has sent me and his spirit. Two different personalities.
Yes.
Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, capital R, the Holy One of Israel. I am Yahweh, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand, and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. Go out from Babylon, flee from Chaldea. Declare this with a shout of joy. Proclaim it. Send it out to the end of the earth. Say, Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob. This must seem like, okay, so you're going to hammer us down with this guy who's coming to kill us,
mm-hmm.
carry us off, take all our stuffs. But this is redemption?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't be redeemed unless you have been, you know, taken away.
A place where you need to be saved. Yeah.
Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and the water gushed out. There is no peace, says Yahweh, for the wicked. Do we have time to do 49? I know it's not on the list.
Well, let's see. I think the next...
How long have we been
Well, doing? We're only at about 37 minutes. So
well, let's go ahead and do 49.
Well, let me see where the calendar goes after this. Actually, after this, we go to 2 Kings 19.
Oh.
And then we get into some of the Psalms.
Well, we can stop here then if you want to. Seems like a good stopping place. It gets into the wonderful, though, Isaiah 49, listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar.
Well, we could do that, actually, because Isaiah would be 49. Yeah, that would be part of next week's reading anyway. Or, well, the next reading, because next weekend we're going to be in Boise, and I just don't think we're going to have time.
We're not. Yeah. We'll be doing well to do Sci Friday.
yeah. Okay, Isaiah 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. And by coastlands, he's talking about the farthest away points of the earth.
Mm-hmm. May even the be ends the of the earth. States.
Yeah, who knows? Yahweh called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with Yahweh, and my recompense with my God. And now Yahweh says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.
This sounds more like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't think this is Cyrus.
Or Isaiah even. Yeah. It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up just the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations. Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is a messianic prophecy. Thus says Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the servant of rulers. And again, that could certainly describe Jesus, especially during the last day hours of his life.
And abhorred by the nation.
Abhorred by the nation, right. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of Yahweh, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says Yahweh, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, to saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways. On all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them.
This is similar language to what we see in the book of Revelation when the multitude is there and it talks about how the sun will no longer beat on them. And
the moon will, And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Now, Syene, in Hebrew, the land of Sinim, which is believed to be a reference to a settlement, the first cataract of the Nile River in Egypt, location of the modern-day Aswan. Yeah, there was a Jewish settlement near there that was established during the exile, the Babylonian exile. These from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it was Revelation 7:16. Going back to 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Similar to the language you just read.
Because the Bible, as Chuck Missler puts it, is an integrated message system from beyond our time-space domain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about, entangled pairs.
Exactly. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For Yahweh has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, Yahweh has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go out from you.
This line, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands.
Yes.
Christ.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go out from you. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. As I live, declares Yahweh, you shall put them all on as an ornament, and you shall bind them. You shall bind them on as a bride does. Surely your waste and your desolate places and your devastated land, surely now you will be too narrow for your inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children of your bereavement will yet say in your ears, the place is too narrow for me. Make room for me to dwell in. Then you will say in your heart, who has borne me these? I was bereaved and barren, exiled and put away, but who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? Thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Now, I can see how you could take verses like this and interpret as rabbis have done for centuries, that this means Israel is someday destined to rule the nations, and that the nations will be judged and be subservient to.
Only if you take it in isolation.
Well, yes, exactly. Exactly. But there's an eschatological belief in Judaism that when Messiah ben Joseph is resurrected by Messiah ben David, once Messiah ben David wins the war of Gog and Magog, then he will restore Israel to the land and purify the land by casting out everybody who's not.
Well, that would not be the Messiah. That would be the anti-Messiah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the next thing is that he will cast the nations and their angels into Gehenna. So, I hate to say it, but that would be us, Christians.
Yeah.
That would be us.
Yeah.
Or at least we would be among those. But you're right. You have to take that in isolation, out of context. Especially, well.
It's called proof texting.
Yeah, yeah. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Yes, God will rule someday, but he's going to rule over all the nations, not just Israel.
Exactly.
But it will be from Israel, from his holy mountain, Zion.
Yeah, exactly.
Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? For thus says Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. Israel, you will be restored, and Israel has been restored. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am Yahweh, your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob.
Wow. That's a good place to stop.
That is a good place to stop. Yeah, because you're right. That does tack on very nicely to the previous.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't in the, to go right in with this week. Well, but then, of course, what we read this week was actually last week.
Yeah, half of last week. So, yeah this actually works out better.
Ran out of steam last week.
Well, you know, when we go back through this the second time, God willing, if we're, Lord Terry's, we'll know better.
Of course, I'll be 90.
At the rate we're going.
I know.
But I don't think we could go any faster.
No, I've loved going at this pace.
Yeah. We're going faster than Heiser.
Yeah.
Of course, Heiser goes a lot more into depth on the individual.
Yeah,
things.
But you know what? This is a great starting place. I mean, if Derek and I can do this, you can do this. You can do this with your family.
Yeah. And even just with the limited amount of background that we have, I mean, because certainly neither one of us are Bible scholars.
No, we're not.
Or historians.
No, we've just been doing it.
Or linguists.
You know, exactly. It's exactly. Just been at this a long time. Doesn't mean that we have any more tools than you do. The tools are right here
on
the internet.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. Blueletterbible.com. Make use of that. That QBible.com is a really good one.
It's a really good place if you want to compare it to the Septuagint. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I like the Faith Life Study Bible, mainly because a lot of the Bible notes in the Faith Life Study Bible, which is online for free, bible.faithlife.com, a lot of the Old Testament sections dealing with the Nephilim, the Rephaim, and Sheol, and the Divine Council, a lot of that stuff was written by Dr. Michael Heiser.
Yeah.
So you're getting commentary in the Faith Life Study Bible that you don't get in any other study Bible I have ever found.
That is so true.
So that is really, really helpful. Those are the three main things that we really rely on. And there are other things that we'll bring in, like, you know, I start jabbering on about Nabonidus and whatever. That's just from me reading papers I found on the internet, academic from academic journals.
Mm-hmm.
But
the thing is, you don't have time to do that. Let Derek do that for you, and then you can get his next book that comes out. I mean, you're seriously, I mean, that's why books like yours and Heiser's and the things Tom writes, those are so useful, because you're distilling all of this other information that you may spend, let's say you spend 500 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can spend 5 hours reading what it took you 500 hours to learn.
To distill, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and vice versa, because there are a lot of things that you've turned up in researching for your novels that have, like, I'm still astounded that, and in fact, you discussed this for an interview you did with Samuel Johnston.
Yeah.
Very intelligent young man who's taken over the sharpening report from Josh Peck. It's a video interview, and we'll post a link to it as soon as it's online. They talked about Sharon's new series, well, ongoing series now, the Red Wing Saga, and the forthcoming novel, Blood Rights, which will follow Blood Lies. Because in Blood Rights, you begin to see how the discovery by the explorer Sir Charles Warren on the very summit of Mount Hermon links, and this is historic, this is historical, this is documented, links to the Jack the Ripper murders.
Yeah, yeah, so, there's I didn't make any of this up. This is all true.
Yeah, and it's astonishing when you see that. And then when you see Warren's own speculation about what he found on the summit of Mount Hermon.
Yeah, Khazar Untar.
Uh-huh, which was included in my article for the Skywatch TV magazine on the June issue for the the 6-day miracle, and ties that to the circumambulation of the Kaaba in Mecca. Mm-hmm. But the circumambulation stuff, this walking in a big circle as a ritual around something, that's a very ancient practice.
It is an ancient practice, and if you've read Blood Lies, it's one of the reasons that there's a labyrinth.
Yes,
at Branham Hall.
Yeah, and. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world that when you see it through the lens of the Divine Council and understand that these other entities are still active in the world and influencing the actions of people in the world today, things make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. So, so I'm really looking forward to giving this talk on Friday because this will be new stuff that I haven't done before. And it's going to be in the new book because the book is going to be a follow-up going deeper into the influence of the moon god and his children on the world today. But there's stuff that's coming out that's just, even new research just within the last 5 years. Like, for example, in 2014, just 3 years ago, there was a discovery of a giant stone monument in northern Israel shaped like a crescent. Mm-hmm. And scholars are like, oh, that's just a natural rock formation. And after digging at it for a while, he's like, no, it's the length of a football field. So, it's the kind of thing you could almost see from space. Mm-hmm. And not coincidentally, it's very near, and I didn't know this until just a couple of weeks ago, very near an ancient Amorite city at the north end of the Sea of Galilee called Bet Yerach.
Oh,
house
yike.
Of the moon god.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So we're going back 5,000 years. Yeah. That's like almost right after the Tower of Babel incident.
Yeah. That's really significant.
So the north end of Galilee.
I may have to steal that.
Yeah, it's north end of Galilee. You've got this house of the moon god town. And then, of course, you've got Jericho, which is also named for the moon god Yarik. And it's not a coincidence that was the first military objective of the Israelites after they crossed the River Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, all of that stuff. If you're not going to make it to Boise, and it's sold out now, so there's no more room, you can still get the live stream. It's going to be streamed through Vimeo, but you do need to pay to access the live stream. But the cool thing is, first of all, it's very affordable. It's $39 normally, but if you use the promo code Gilbert20, that's Gilbert20, when you sign up, you'll get 20% off that. So you save about $6, almost $8.
Almost eight.
Yeah, $8 off of that. And then all of the presentations will be archived for 6 months.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that's almost like owning the DVD.
Exactly. You can go back and show your friends or whatever. And so it's really cool. You can sign up at hearthewatchman.com. And again, use the promo code Gilbert20 to save $8, or they're about 20% off the live stream. And I'll be giving my talk on Friday morning. But if you miss it because it's archived, you can go back and watch it later.
Yeah.
So if you're working on Friday, don't worry about it. Just go back and watch it when it's convenient for you.
Yay.
Yeah. So anyway, Father, we just thank you for your word and for the insight that your spirit has given us, because we do not rely on our own understanding, Father. We know that it is only through your guidance and your Holy Spirit that we have what little wisdom we possess. We just pray for more, Father, to better understand your will and your word, and help us, Lord, to take no pride in our own understanding and our own wisdom. You have blessed us and blessed us all with different gifts. For some of us, it's the gift of digging into research. For others, it's storytelling. For others, it's the gift of being able to preach in a compelling way that makes your will easy to understand. And for others, it's the gift of music. For others, it's the gift of service, Father. And we just pray that you make us, help us, Lord, to exercise the gifts that you've given us to the best of our ability, and to be jealous of no others, the gifts that you've given to others. Help us not to covet those gifts, Father, because we all work as different members in the body of Christ, and we're all essential. So Father, we just thank you for the gifts with which you've blessed us and for the tasks that you set before us, for the roles that you have appointed for us, and for bringing us to these roles and these tasks at this hour in human history. Lord, we pray for strength and courage, for wisdom and discernment. Lord, we ask you to lift up those who are preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Strengthen and protect those missionaries who are working in foreign fields. We ask, Father, for you to grant us the wisdom and the courage and we pray for the words to speak when the opportunities present themselves, Lord, to our family members and our colleagues, co-workers. For the hour grows short, and we can see that the enemy is growing ever more bold. We pray for those who were injured and harmed in the violence that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia over the weekend, yesterday, Father. Lord, we pray that your spirit would calm the anger in the hearts of those on all sides of the issues that were on public display. The enemy is exploiting the hatred for its own ends as it seeks to return your creation to the chaos from which you brought it. Lord, we pray for your guidance, for your blessing, and for your protection. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with